I did not drink coffee. I am very tired. Tired in my mind. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay. Yeah. Honestly, I'm kind of winging it too. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. If it's horrible, we have to re-record.
Okay. Hi, I'm Derek Mast.
And I'm Tanya Mast.
We've got two kids, Rainey.
Hiya.
And Emerson.
Da-da.
And we're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up.
This is the journey of two young homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
So, Tanya, you abundant fountain of love. I just like making you wait for it.
Where did my desk drawer go?
Okay, I have a good reason for this.
I didn't notice it till now. I should have.
We have a very bad problem of this mic stand not working on your desk. So
oh my goodness.
I had to take the entire drawer out in order to get your mic stand to attach effectively.
Oh,
so it doesn't
look how dusty it is.
Fall off. Well, oh.
So oh, gross.
That's really bad.
I had no idea. I mean,
well, it's not like you get your, you know, you get your fingers or anything in there every.
Well, it's not even like
several
I could
decades.
Reach it with the drawer in, but ugh. I wonder how many spots like that there are on my house.
Don't think
should
about
find
that.
Them.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's why the desk drawer is out and sitting over there in the on the other side of the room. I'll put that back in once we're done.
Hey, if it works everything. To make the
if it keeps
mic
your
stand stay there, then that's great.
If it keeps your mic from not falling in the middle of recording.
Nothing is quite as daunting as seeing a mic slowly slowly gathering speed and coming towards you.
That's for sure. So
pinned between back of my chair.
So I have a little bit of follow-up from last episode. It came to my attention that I kind of glossed over the fact where Tanya should have been much more frustrated with me than she was with my barefoot escapade at the local BB's. I went for the humorous part, but I didn't mention the fact that this is after a very long day, and Tanya had reminded me many times to put shoes in the car, and I forgot, and Tanya was so what's the word? Long suffering with me, and I very much appreciate you for that. So just so the people know, I love you too. Second piece of follow-up is I am very disappointed in our listeners who didn't use the hashtag AskSTL at all. Our 12 listeners did not immediately go to their phones and ask us questions. So that is your task for this week,
people
listeners.
People are going to like stop listening if you berate them over tasks that they did not complete for you.
A little mildly heavier form of flogging.
No.
A reference that only two of our listeners will get out of the 12. So this past week, we were on a trip, weren't we, Tanya?
We were indeed, Derek.
It was quite a trip. We went to Missouri to get a brother married, your brother,
get
specifically.
New sister.
Mm-hmm. So that was fun. And we wanted to talk about that pretty much the entire episode because we got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
So, and I want to preface this by saying this is all stuff that I should have thought about before going. A lot of this stuff was not technically my fault or not technically things that I did that I did for this happening. But I should have noticed these things and thought about them a little bit more before we left on the trip. To set expectations. So, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. My number one thing that I would say is that vacations are entirely different when you have two kids with you, and you should adjust your expectations significantly before going on said vacation. This was the first time we took both Emerson and Rainey on a trip. And I mean, number one, we had really early flights there and back. So the first trip out, we left from our house at 4 in the morning.
It was 3:45. Well, we left at 4.
Okay. Anyways, 4. And neither of the kids fell asleep on the ride there to the airport. And
oh, that's right. Yeah, they didn't.
Murray fell asleep right when we got there and was immediately woken up, which, yeah. Anyways, and then the flight back, we left at 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. They were troopers, though. They did a great job. And we were running through the airport to catch our first flight. So, anyways.
We were traveling with family. So we had our little
minivan. Which is why we had early flights, too. We didn't realize those were the flights that they booked. We should have.
Yes.
But we didn't.
Yeah. So, the whole minivan was full of people. So it's a lot very interesting for Rainey and Emerson to see all these people behind them when there's not normally them. So, yeah, kept them up. In times when they normally wouldn't have stayed up. So that was one thing. I guess the other broad thing would be to not expect there to be a vacation when you're going for preparing for a wedding. So, we weren't responsible for a whole lot this weekend. But not this weekend. This last week. We weren't responsible particularly, but we were along and helpful. So we often got roped into doing things when
we volunteered.
Yeah,
to
we did volunteer.
There was a long to-do list. So
yeah, exactly. But we didn't have our expectations set properly. Cause obviously if you think about it for 2 seconds and you're going like early for to prep for a wedding, that time's going to fill up with stuff, and it's probably not reasonable to expect to actually have vacation. So even if you get like a couple hours here and there, it's going to get like you either have stuff almost every meal or, you know, visiting with people or whatever.
One other interesting moment that happened on our trip was our first return flight. They were giving their little safety speech, the stewardesses at the front of the plane, and the stewardess came back and asked us if we wanted an infant life vest. And I was like, sure, why not? And Derek's like, yeah, that sounds interesting. I just kind of want to see what it's like.
And I don't think we've ever gotten offered that
we've never gotten offered that.
Because we've gone to...
They'll mention that the stewardess will equip you with one, but anyways.
Yeah, because we've gone to Colorado with Rainey as an infant, as a lap child before. Like, so that was another
and
couple
Omaha.
Of flights. And Omaha, that's right. Yeah, so several
And
several
we had
flights.
Been on other flights. Anyways, then she came back and she was like, oh, sorry guys, we actually aren't going to be flying over water. So we're like, okay. So we are coming down out of the sky, clearly about to land in like the next few minutes because we were getting low, guys. We were getting really low coming into Chicago, getting close to buildings, seeing things. And then all of a sudden, we are leaving Chicago and heading out over water. And it was like a lot of water. It was like I could not see I've told this story to people now and they're like, oh, it was probably a lake. If it was a lake, it was a big freaking lake because I could not see the other side. Are you looking for it right now?
I'm looking for this body of water because it's got to be. I mean, look at that. There it is. What is that?
That
is a very large body of water
goodness.
Right there.
What
that's
is
Lake
it?
Michigan.
Oh,
that's
Lake Michigan.
A huge. Yeah, that's an enormous lake. Right by Chicago. So
yeah, so we're going out onto Lake Michigan, which honestly looked like the ocean with how low we were.
Yeah, that definitely explains all the water that we saw.
I'm seriously getting anxiety just seeing that on the map.
No.
And I've mentioned before that I have postpartum anxiety, and for some reason this month it's been worse. I think it's because my asthma has been bad and I've been struggling to breathe. So I had a night terror already once this month. And it's just been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, all of a sudden we're over water and I was like, Derek, what in the world? They told us we're not going over water and here we are. And we're just heading straight out and we're still coming down. Like, the pilot was even like curving towards the water and stuff. And I could feel the drop of the airplane and I'm holding my sleeping baby.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
And so I've been in a situation before where Tanya notices something that will inevitably give her anxiety. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I understand where you're coming from. I know logically that there's no reason for us to be afraid of what's going on right now, but this is understandably a little weird and I have no idea how to talk you down from this. And now I'm kind of freaking out because I can't talk you down because logically, it seems to make sense that we really shouldn't be flying over this large body of water, especially after they purposely told us not to, even though, you know, that they purposely told us they weren't going to.
So I just took deep breaths and eventually we turned around and flew back. I guess they were just turning us around because we had a little bit of extra time. I have no idea, but
yeah, I think the going hypothesis was that we were early and they couldn't land right away. But still.
Anyways, and then afterwards, we were like standing up going to leave the flight and I was like, fine, but I thought I was going to throw up. So apparently my nerves were pretty bad because once mm-hmm. we landed, I was like, I think I'm going to throw up. I didn't, but I was wondering if it was going to happen whether I wanted to or not. So,
and I had all the sympathy for you in that situation.
But we all survived.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it's interesting to hear your perspective on my anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
What do you normally see? I mean, last night even I asked Derek, like, do you ever hear me like almost gasp at night when I'm about to fall asleep? Because like part of postpartum anxiety is like I'm almost asleep and then I get bombarded with the most graphic images of like my child dying in horrible ways. Unrealistic ways. I mean, postpartum anxiety, a way to tell if you have postpartum anxiety is like your anxiety like supersedes reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no way, like it's like I'm watching a zoomed in movie of all of the horrific things that could happen and I can't look away. And it's so unrealistic and I mm-hmm. know that in my mind, but it's like my mind is working against me. My like innate desire to problem solve life, which is a gift, and logic is like broken.
Totally hijacked.
Totally broken. And it's like my mind is like, well, if you tried to fix it this way, this is what would happen. And
mm-hmm.
like the exact opposite.
Uh-huh.
So when if that happens, then I realize that I'm not breathing and I go like, and then I like start slowly breathing again and talking to Jesus and working myself through reality again. But Derek has not noticed yet, so that's good. You're probably asleep at that point. Not to make you sound insensitive, but
no, but I it's my spiritual gift to fall yeah. asleep anywhere as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah. So this postpartum thing has had you going for ever since. Do you remember having anxiety like this before Rainy?
No, never. As never. A teenager, okay. I had a few panic attacks at night, which mm-hmm. I think were hormonal then too, with like adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be similar, but very different too. Like I would be almost asleep and then suddenly my heart would be racing and it would feel like the world was going to crumble on top of me. But I didn't have like images in my head. I just mm-hmm. had like this feeling of impending doom. And I could normally talk myself like through it, or I would go and find someone in the house and be like, I don't feel reality right now. Can you just like be here with me for a little bit, and that would help. Mm-hmm. But postpartum anxiety is entirely different because, I don't know, there's a convinced feeling that the worst things are going to happen to my family mm-hmm. at random times. It's not like a constant thing, thank the Lord, but I've heard of people who have had it as a constant thing. And mm-hmm. I guess that I'm like talking more about postpartum anxiety because I will be sharing with a mother as a prayer request and like as what we are working through. And she'll say, oh, I think that I might be struggling with that too. Like, and share a similar experience, but not have words for it. And with Rainey, I had postpartum anxiety mildly, like after she was born. And it's not postpartum depression because I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel like baby blues. I didn't feel disinterest in my child. Mm-hmm. Like, it's entirely different. It's just, yeah.
It's just being anxious about.
And even when you look up information on postpartum anxiety, they group it with postpartum depression, which I think is part of the problem because it seems entirely different. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't hear anybody talking about it like I did postpartum depression.
Yeah.
But with Rainey, I remember when I miscarried right after we had Rainey. I remember my postpartum anxiety being insane then. Mm-hmm. And that's why I know it must be a hormonal imbalance. And there's so many hormones in my system because we had Rainey and then I nursed her. And then I nursed her through Emerson's pregnancy. And so I've honestly been nursing and pregnant for the last for almost 3 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. More than 3 years because Rainey's almost three.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot on your body sometimes to have so many kids close together, I think. I feel like postpartum anxiety really started, though, when I miscarried. And I remember my hormones were all over the place because I remember specifically my sister was going to take Rainey on a aunt and niece date. Mm-hmm. And all day leading up to that, I thought, Rainey's going to die tonight. Rainey's going to die tonight. Mm-hmm. Rainey's probably going to die in a car accident with my sister. And part of the struggle of all of this is because in the past, I've discerned a lot of things before they've happened, like almost forecasted them. And maybe that's a spiritual gift or a strange coincidence. But yeah, that it makes it harder when you've been right so many times to be dealing with postpartum anxiety and not able to trust your expectations, I guess. So I told Derek this. I was like, this is super unrealistic, but this is what I'm expecting to happen. And Elisa Brooke took Rainey and I like reminded her safety things mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. then off they went and Derek and I went on a date. Mm-hmm. And we got on the road behind them, like they had gone like 15 minutes before and we were stuck in traffic mm-hmm. and it was horrible. And the closer we got down the road, the sooner we realized that there was an accident up there. And I was like, mm-hmm. Derek, it's them. It's them. And I tried calling, no answer. I was like, Derek, mm-hmm. it's them. I'm sure it's them. And he's like, we don't know that it's them. Everything's okay. We haven't heard anything. And we got up there. I saw the car and I was like, it's them. And I uh-huh. went to get out of the car.
Yep.
It was not them. And Derek's like, it's not them. Stay here.
Yep. Yep.
And
I think I had to shout you down a little bit.
Yeah, you did. And then I ugly cried for 10 minutes afterwards because I was so worked up.
I felt about so this. Bad.
But anyways, there's been a few situations like that. Derek mm-hmm. will be out with both kids and I'll be like, they're going to die in a car accident. I'm going to lose everyone. Mm-hmm.
I can't understand how you exist with this. And the fact that you exist with it means you are a far better person than I am. It's just so hard. And And I mean,
I honestly think that if something, like if something bad happened, mm-hmm. like if I was to lose one of you or all of you, God gives grace and wisdom and peace in the moment, peace that that passes understanding. And mm-hmm. like, obviously it would be the roughest thing that I would ever have to go through. But I think that the struggle that I face in my mind with no sort of resolution, you know, there is no resolution to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a personal hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So things that I do to combat that is to exercise slow breathing, to remind myself of reality, to be very open with Derek about what I'm experiencing. If it makes it worse to talk about specific situations, then I don't. Mm-hmm. But I am very open with him because he can forecast my level of crazy. And because I need to know that he can gauge where I'm at and be able to tell me if like I need to see a counselor or if I need to go on medication. Those would be the two next steps that I would see in the future. First, mm-hmm. seeing a counselor for more coping habits and mm-hmm. then considering medication, which would mm-hmm. be great if I couldn't do that because I would like to keep feeding my baby.
Yep.
But I mean, I know of women who have gotten such horrible postpartum depression and anxiety that they're, since having kids, they had to go on medication and they couldn't have kids anymore because they had to be on medication, mm-hmm. Which I really would like that to not be my reality, but that is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then memorizing truth and praying through truth, like talking to the Lord and saying, I know you're sovereign. I know you're in control. I know that you want my best. I know that you hold my heart and all of these truths are true for my family and my kiddos as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when I can picture in my head, like, when you live in a place where you're constantly expecting the worst to happen, that it seems like it would be a sort of relief to just cause it to happen and be done with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not at that point.
Yeah.
But I can understand it in my head. Like, I can understand.
It's like me with
terrifying.
Presbyterians. I can understand how they get there, but I'm not there yet. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. You were on a very serious and like wonderful streak of talking.
I present
there, totally
my deepest, darkest treasure to the light, and you poop on it.
I'm sorry.
No, that was pretty good.
No, I love you.
So, Derek, what do you think are some good coping mechanisms for husbands? Because the thing that Derek gets to face is me constantly expecting him to stupidly hurt our children or just be unaware of their needs. Mm-hmm. And I tell him, like, I am so sorry that it seems like I don't trust you. But mm-hmm. if something was to happen and I didn't, like, tell you, watch Rainy when you take her down to the water, I will feel personally responsible.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of those assumptions that your anxiety plays on are a little bit more reasonable for reasons we'll get into for a future episode when we talk about my faults in detail, which hold me to that. We're going to talk about that next episode.
Okay.
Oh,
are we talking about my faults? Because
no.
I
this
could
isn't...
fill several episodes with them.
No, and to be clear, this isn't a fault. This is something that's happening to you.
I would deeply like to unsubscribe from this life feature.
I know. I think if there was any fault, it's that we've chosen to exist with it for so long, which it's really easy to...
It really hasn't been that bad, but this month it has been bad.
Yeah, right. But I think, like, if... Like, a couple of months ago, if you went from the level you were at there to no anxiety, like, you would probably see that as a big difference, right?
I don't know.
It just, like...
I remember the miscarriage and feeling the anxiety and thinking how insane it was. And I remember post-baby that there were some days that I was driving and I was so worried that I was going to drive off the road mm-hmm. that it was almost a debilitating fear and I almost didn't want to be on the road that day because I just felt shaky and weird. And mm-hmm. I know that that's part mm-hmm. of postpartum anxiety. You can feel dizzy, you can feel shaky, you can feel nauseous. And I think that I've experienced all of those things with postpartum anxiety.
Yeah.
But I remember entering into postpartum anxiety. I remember how weird and like, oh, this is a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
If it just dropped off, like last month, I remember thinking, man, I have not had any. I especially think about it at night. Sorry, mm-hmm. I keep restarting my sentences.
No, you're fine.
But I think about it at night because I'll be almost asleep and then I'll have a really horrific picture in my head of something happening to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll remember, oh, that happened last night too. Oh, that happened the night before. That's kind of how I gauge my anxiety. If I have several nights of not thinking something horrific, which mm-hmm. I don't think has happened this month, but that was like previously, like I was like, wow, I haven't actually experienced anything really disturbing mm-hmm. in a while mm-hmm. in my mind.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess back to the how can husbands help cope? There's a lot of things that I just
talk your wife out of her night terrors.
Yeah. When I see you standing up and trying to get at something in the ceiling that just talk her calmly down. It's okay.
I think you had to kind of shout at me a little bit.
I don't think I shouted at you that time. That time I raised my voice.
Yes. That was done in love. It's okay. Already this episode right after yelling and we're already going back on.
I actually have follow-up on that. We should talk about I'll get to that next episode about I now see me yelling every time that I yell or raise my voice, I notice it, but that's a tangent. So I guess you were thinking that Emerson was on the roof or something ready
I thought that the ceiling was falling down.
Oh, ceiling was falling down.
And Murray was in our bed.
Gotcha. And so she was trying to she was reaching up for the ceiling and she was very concerned about Emerson. And I was like, Emerson is not in our bed. He is in his crib. Emerson is in his crib. It's okay. Come on down.
I just think it's hilarious. Like both times that I've had night terrors with kids, like I've been standing tiptoe on the bed and that's what Derek wakes up to. And I'm like, how can you handle this so calmly? Like, this is the weirdest thing to wake up to.
Mm-hmm. The other time Rainey was stuck in the ceiling.
The first time I thought Rainey was stuck under our light fixture, which is impossible. Physically impossible.
Yes, yes. Most times it's less extreme than that. Most of the time it's... Well, there's a lot of like... What would probably be considered normal stuff, like check and see if the baby's breathing. I know we just checked on him like 20 minutes ago, but let's, we should just check and make sure the baby's breathing.
He's been sleeping for like 3 extra hours than normal.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that's more understandable, but it is still like a low level anxiety thing.
And that is a gift you give me to be willing to do that and not make a stink out of it. I feel so loved every time because I know I'm being outrageous. But
that's really sweet. Thank you. A lot of times it's just, it feels like it's feeding the anxiety. Like it's not like, no anxiety, you'll get put in your place. But
I will tell you what happens. Either you get up and check the baby or I get up and check the baby and then I can't sleep for a little while because I got up.
Exactly.
Or I lay in bed thinking about how it's not reality, but still worrying and staying up for like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are the options.
Yeah. So it's either you let the anxiety know, nope, everything is fine. We've definitely checked on it twice. Or the anxiety just continues growing and then it swallows Tanya's brain whole and she doesn't get any sleep.
Anxiety, you do not exist.
So as nonsensical as it may seem, like feeding the anxiety that information is helpful.
Like feeding my mind the information my mind can overcome the anxiety.
Yeah, right. That's kind of the main thing is...
You often pray with me at night.
Oh, yeah.
Or like when I was pregnant with Murray, I could feel like a pregnant panic attack coming on, which was an entirely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like I saw a ton of shapes in my mind. I got like a cottony mouth feeling. It was mm-hmm. so weird. I've never experienced anything like that. But I would have a very specific hormonal pregnancy attack, and it felt like everything was caving in, and my feet felt really heavy, and very weird. Anyways,
yeah.
I would tell Derek when I felt one coming on, and then he would just talk to me, and I could focus on something else and calm my breathing, and it would move on quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But he also takes the time to pray with me, which deeply puts my mind at ease and refocuses my heart, too.
Mm-hmm. Basically... love your wife in whatever way that she needs. And that's generally the right principle in all of marriage. But,
I want to kiss you.
Oh, here, let's do it.
You can cut all that out so they don't have to hear our smooching.
Yeah. I don't know if that was loud enough for the microphones. If it is loud enough, I'm totally keeping it in.
Oh, that was a long kiss to keep in.
No, I was like, cut it in half. So it'll only be about 5 seconds long.
That will only be about like 30 seconds long if you cut it in half.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of it. I guess we are gonna look into finding a counselor of
if
some kind.
Things do not improve soon.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing as far as finding counselors, but we'll figure something out.
We have counselors in mind. And mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, we've been very open about all of this with extended family and people in our lives that we trust.
Mm-hmm.
I've been open with my mentor and
yeah.
Just and grateful for the amount of wisdom and sanity and stability that we have in our lives.
Yeah.
If you're handling something like this alone, find
do
people.
Not handle it alone no. at all costs.
Find people, find your tribe.
Mm-hmm. Handling it alone will drive you crazy. Yes, you will wind up in a little padded room, and I don't know, it will not be good.
You will end up in a padded room talking to the wall, shouting, I want the infant life vest. I want it. Give me the infant life vest. Give it to me. And now we've come full circle.
Yes, we have.
Also, if you're a stewardess, do not tell a mother that you're good.
Just give her the infant life vest. Just do it. I don't care if we're going over the Sahara Desert.
If they had given it to me, I would have had us all like gathered up together, roped together with the infant life vest in the middle. I'm ready. Take us down.
Okay, a little confession. I was just checking, you know, my seat to make sure that it was detachable during that time, that, you know, we could use it as a flotation device if necessary.
That makes me feel a lot
if
better.
If that makes you feel better.
It doesn't. It was such an unpleasant experience.
It was, yeah. Oh, my word.
So much water. Oh, also, one of my biggest anxieties tend to be, like, related to my family being stuck in a plane or in a car and being in water and trying to get us all out mm-hmm. in time. So
yeah, so it was like the worst of everything.
Okay, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay, so moving on. Again, you can ask us questions. If you have interesting feedback about postpartum anxiety, if you want to share your story or tips that you've, you know, that have helped.
If you want support from us, we would love mm-hmm. to be those people for you. But also, we are hoping that you have people in arm's length of you who can hug you and love you and pray with you and be the support that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Not from a distance.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, share your stories, share your wisdom.
We'd love to hear it. So, Tanya, thank you for podcasting again with me this week.
Thanks, honey.
I love you.
Thanks for loving me even in my crazy.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram or Twitter at SetToLearn. And our website is SetToLearn.com. Keep learning, and we'll see you next time. So now I've remembered all of the things that I wanted to talk about that I learned during vacation, but it's after. Should I put a quarter in the jar? I was going to get a jar. I'm going to have a jar next time.
Where are you going to get these quarters from?
That's going to have to be a special trip to the bank, I guess.
It really is. I was going to say, you're not just going to be moving our funds around.
Well, I mean, I do have a jar of quarters over here.
Yeah, those aren't all yours.
Those aren't, I mean, they aren't assigned to anything in the budget, though. They could just be...
They're supposed to be.
But we never use quarters.
This is not going to hurt unless you're using your pocket money, dude.
Okay. We'll just start putting dollars in that jar unassigned, and we'll put a bunch of quarters in there, and then I'll take it out. But tell you what, budgeting with cash is confusing.
Yeah, why do people do that?
I don't know. Cash needs to die, and we need to just start plunking credit cards in the jars instead of quarters.
Although I did use Apple Pay tonight to get groceries, and then I had lost one item in my cart, and I went back to pay for it. And for some reason, my phone would not register to the credit card machine. I think it was the machine freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no cream cheese for me. And then the lady behind me was like, please let me get that for you. Aww. And have a happy 4th of July. Humans are kind.
Humans are delightful.
Well, you can share what else you learned. And then if it's good enough, we can put it back, piece it back into the episode.
So in going with the setting expectations for a week full of wedding festivities, just giving up. So, and, you know, if you listen to both podcasts, that's why there wasn't an episode of Tech Reformation last week. Okay, I'll throw that in somewhere where it makes sense. And
it doesn't make sense to put it in anywhere. Quarter in the jar. Just cut it out and bring us back there.
All right, so I'm one quarter in a deficit now.
Two quarters.
Two quarters.
Yeah, well, you said you owed a quarter before.
No, I didn't know. I know. I guess I do. I owe. Okay.
You're gonna have to stop spending your money a month beforehand, because what are we going to use as currency then?
I don't know. And are these quarters going to go? Is the question. We should get listener ideas on that.
Yeah.
What should we use these quarters for?
A mouth gag of shame. You take your wife out to dinner.
I just have a mouth share gag all your time. Just a share, ball gag.
No.
The entire. What are these people into?
And share all of your anecdotes on the date so you can get them out of the way and not put them on the podcast.